Book of Isaiah, please, chapter number 30. Book of Isaiah, chapter number 30. Once in a while, somebody will say to me, "Pastor, how do you get your messages? Where do you, how's that come about?" Well, off the internet is really a good place. That's what I find a lot of people do. Seriously, I do not do that. Most of my messages, this is one of them, come out of personal Bible reading. Things that touch my heart, things that speak to me. And I have learned that if God speaks to me with something, normally He wants to speak to others about it as well. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. Chapter number 30, the book of Isaiah. And we're going to begin reading here in verse number 1. Isaiah in chapter number 30. And begin reading verse number 1. It says, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. For his princes were at Zoan, and his ambassadors came to Hanes. They were all ashamed of a people that could not profit them, nor be in help nor profit, but a shame and also a reproach. The burden of the beast of the south, into the land of trouble and anguish, from whence come the young and old lion, the viper and fiery flying serpent, they will carry their riches upon the shoulders of young asses and their treasures upon the bunches of camels to a people that shall not profit them. For the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this, their strength is to set still." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank You today for the privilege of this, Your Word. Lord, I pray today that You might speak certainly to our hearts. Oh God, open Your Word that we might behold wondrous things. Spirit of God, somehow take these trembling lips and turn it to the force of God in the hearts of Your people. Oh God, I pray that You today might be heard. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Assyrians, under the leadership of Sennacherib, were at the very doorstep of Jerusalem. Previously, a godly king by the name of Hezekiah had bought off Sennacherib with gold and silver that he had taken from the temple. Later on, he repaired the temple and instituted the Passover. But Sennacherib is back, seeking their forfeiture with his mighty forces, his armies. There's a large contingency, of Israelites who want to enlist the help of Pharaoh without seeking God's help. Their intention is to run to Pharaoh, from whence they had been released many years before, and to get his help. It is to these that we find these words in verse number 1, "Woe to the rebellious children." In chapters 30 and 31, we find that God is speaking to these people. He's trying to get them to understand that what they are doing is rebellion against God. Woe to the rebellious children. God has tried to teach them that this is a horrible sorrow that will come upon them, this woe, if they listen not to the Lord God in this matter. In our day, in our times, which I fear is so much like what it speaks of in Romans chapter 3, the fear of God certainly is not before their eyes. There's very little understanding today of whom God is, and certainly very little understanding of what rebellion to God is. Somehow we think that this is a lot less than what we see from the Word of God. Our text gives us some tremendous but painful insight into rebellion. The Israelites were to teach their children about these things. In Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 18, it says, "If any man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him will not hearken to them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and into the gate of his place, and they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard, and all the men of his city shall stone him with stones, that he die. So shall thou put away evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Oh, what would happen in America if we did that today? I believe rebellion would be curtailed real quickly, or there'd be a lot of rocks being thrown. But nonetheless, we have very little understanding because we've not done those kinds of things as to what rebellion is really all about. Woe to the rebellious children. Notice here, he really gives us some understanding of what rebellion is. That take counsel, but not of me. It is simply stated, brethren, a desertion of God. Any decision that we make that is not based upon the Word of God is leaning not on God, but upon our own understanding. The book of Proverbs, chapter number 3, it tells us there, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." It's interesting that the first verse in that chapter begins, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." And thus we are to come to the Word of God, put our trust in it, lean upon it. We have found ourselves in a position where we have deserted God. We take counsel, but not of Him. We listen to the voices, but not of Him. A man by the name of George Barna, a Christian researcher, wrote this, and I quote, "The result of teen involvement at a church is that they can recite some religious facts, they made some friends, and they had fun. That's wonderful. But we also find that most of them have neither accepted Christ as their Savior, nor altered the basis on which they make their moral and ethical decision in life. For most teenagers who have spent years attending church activities, their faith is not integrated into what they are and how they live. Most of the young people who claim they developed an understanding of the Bible that enables them to make decisions based on biblical principles show no evidence of using that understanding in relation to the core beliefs and lifestyle choices that we studied." Interesting. That was written 20 years ago. That crowd is now our 20s and 30s. And still that be the problem that be in our churches. When biblical teaching is dismissed in regards to the operation of our daily life, we are in a position of rebellion against God. We find that to be true in our homes. We find that to be true in regards to even disciplining our children today. We have worldly concepts that have entered in. We want to have timeouts. We want to have talks with our children. When we substitute those things for what the Bible calls the rod. the old-fashioned thing that's put to the backside, the seat of understanding. And we wonder why our children are in rebellion. Maybe it's because we as parents and even grandparents are in as much rebellion as to what the Word of God has to say concerning our daily lives. God wants you and I to make our decisions based upon "Thus saith the Lord." We come to a book called Proverbs, one of the most practical, wonderful books you'll ever pick up. And in that book, we find that God gives us many, many things to make decisions whereby we can order our lives day after day. God tells us there how to borrow money. Basically, don't. God tells us there how to handle our children. God tells us there how to live our lives. And throughout the Word of God, we have our instructions. But instead, we find ourselves, as it says in the next phrase, cover with a covering. We find ourselves in a position of distrust of God. The text and the context here is speaking of the Israelites who are seeking the protection of Egypt, the covering of Egypt, rather than the covering of God, rather than the protection of God. Think about it. Here's a people that wants to go back to the nation they fled from in the beginning, a place that had enslaved them, a people who had them at tasks that were horrible and horrendous, and yet they want to go back to that kind of situation. Whenever we flee to anyone else, before we consult with God, we are not trusting Him. Believe me this morning, I do not believe in faith healers. I do believe that we can call upon God to be healed. I do believe in doctors. But I'm telling you this morning, before you go to the doctor, you need to go to Dr. Jesus and seek Him. Matter of fact, He is the one that can lead you to the right doctor. Because there's some of them out there that they're not going to discover what's wrong with you. He's the one that we ought to be seeking after in those kinds of things. We need to be trusting Him. In our society today, amongst Christians, it is very popular to run off to the bookstore and buy a book on some certain subject that God has already told us about. And so we seek after books on all kinds of subjects rather than consulting the Word of God. Or finding somebody who can take us to a biblical answer. You know, it's a strange thing to me that in our day and age that we will listen to unscriptural, and I'm going to put a quotation marks around this word, quotation mark, preacher, quotation mark, like a Joyce Myers or many others. Did you know that preachers are to be men? They're not to be females. Matter of fact, pastors, the Bible says, husband of one wife. You're not going to get that unless they're queer. And then they ought to be stoned, according to Old Testament rules. But we run to all of these things rather than the words of Almighty God. He's the one that has the advice. Most will listen to the advice of a lost man rather than the Word of God because he has some kind of qualifications, because he has some kind of credentials, because in the world somebody made him with some sort of letters behind his name. Because somebody has a DR, not referring to a physician, does not mean he's an expert. My pastor used to say, and I believe very well, an expert, an X is an unknown quality. It means just any old spurt. Listen, brethren, this is the expertise that we need. It's the truth of the Word of God. And yet we've come to where we want to trust all other kinds of things except coming to God and finding out. Let me give you an illustration. Many folks have bought into this. And they believe that one of the things that is missing in young people and older folks alike is self-esteem. And so we want to build an individual's self-esteem. May I refer to you to the Word of God in the book of Colossians where it says, let each esteem other better than themselves. You and I don't need more pride. You and I have a problem with pride already. You and I esteem ourselves too well as it is. What we need, brethren, is not self-esteem. We need God-esteem. We need to put our pride in Him. We need to see Him as our answer. We need Him as our confidence. I understand what self-confidence, but I'll tell you this, God-confidence is far greater. That is the need of the hour. My biggest problem in these last 40 years of ministry is getting people to read their Bible. But not only get them to read their Bible, but to study it and to apply it to everyday situations. It's a living reality. We are a rebellious children. Why? We take counsel, but not of God. We listen to what others have to say, but not God. And then we seek to cover with a covering. You and I, we don't trust Him, and so we try to make our own way in some way or fashion. And it distracts us from God. Notice what it says, that they may add sin to sin. Whenever you seek counsel away from God, your rebellion will lead you into more and more sin. Do you realize that the written Word of God is a record that will also be used against us in judgment? Notice verse number 8. It says, now go, write it before them in a table and note it in a book that they may be for the time to come forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children. Children will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not unto the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceit. Interesting, in our day, those who are popular in the religious circles on the television and other places, oh, they preach truth, but it's all about how wonderful it is. But brethren, there's also the other side of truth. There's also the realization that we need a Savior because we're dirty, rotten, low down, no good for nothing. I mean, we are filthy sinners. And we need a God that loves us, that He can lift us up out of that. But we get distracted as a result. What can prevent our rebellion? Turn with me, book of Psalm, chapter 78, please. The book of Psalms and chapter number 78. I want you to notice with me here, four verses, beginning in verse number 5. Book of Psalm, chapter 78, verse number 5, says, for He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and in whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Simply stated, what can prevent rebellion? A tremendous dose of the Word of God. A knowledge of God's Word. A knowledge of what God has done. Most of our children sit in our churches, according to George Barna. They hear a couple of hours. They come and they hear just a few things. But most of their life is not based upon or built upon the Word of God. Why? Because the remainder of their time they learn from television. They learn from videos and educators that have no idea what is being promoted. One thing we do know, and that is, if we do something godly,
there's going to be protest about it. But let it be. We must be in the Word of God. Without the knowledge of God, we will rebel against Him. Because we have a very self-centered nature. And in the end, we will meet with His judgment. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6 states it very well. He says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge," He says, "I also will reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of my God. I will also forget thy children." The need of our hour is the truth of the Word of God. We need it in our homes. We need it in our hearts. We need it in our churches. It is that which transforms. Thy Word is truth. The Word of God we find is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It is the Word of God that can slice within the soul and that which can reveal to us that which is wrong and at the same time reveal to us the direction to go. Listen to these words. They're familiar to you. Romans chapter 10, verse number 13. It says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It's a promise of God. Let's not stop there. How shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." But they've not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, "Lord, who hath believed our report?" So then faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You and I today, if we are going to be a people not rebellious, we must be in this book called the Bible. We must not only come to a church that preaches it and seeks to teach it, but we must on a daily basis pick up this book and allow it to enter into our hearts. I dare say that the average Christian reads more newspaper in a day's time than they read this book. I would dare say that we see more things on the internet and on the television than we see from the Word of God. No wonder God says, "Woe to the rebellious children that seek counsel, but not of me." We learn how to do what we do, not based upon this, His book, but based upon our own whims and the thoughts of other people and the counsel that comes from ungodly sources. Way back in the late 40s, I believe early 50s, may have my dates wrong, there was a man that came on the scene. And he came on the scene and he wrote a book on how to raise children. And literally thousands of people bought that book. One of the most popular books that was ever sold by Benjamin Spock. And in that book, he told parents how to raise their children. It was not according to this book. But many bought into it. Then they wondered what happened to their kids. They wondered what took place and why they didn't turn out right. Brethren, using the means of God, you're going to have enough opponents, let alone listening to ungodly advice on whatever it is in our lives. We need to get our directions from this. It has the principles to live by. It has for us that which will give us eternal life and abundant life. eternal life as we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Abundant life. Not the American definition of abundance, but the abundance of God in our soul. God wants us to have both. I ask first of all this morning, do you know Jesus Christ your Savior? Do you know the author of this book? I mean, do you know who God is? Is He in your heart and life? Is He your Savior? Because He came to the world as a Savior doesn't make Him your Savior. We just read a moment ago, Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever is anybody. The reason we call is because we have a need. We recognize that we have sinned against an almighty God. We recognize that we are beyond Him, and only by His grace can He pull us to Himself. But when we do, we've got the promise of God. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But not only that, Christian, God has given us something to live by. Not our own whims, but this. To follow its principles, to follow its dictates, if you please. Just let Him show us the direction. As I taught in Sunday school, that does not mean you will have a carefree life. But you have a God who will take you through it. You see, there's some words in the Bible that have been mentioned often that we sometimes forget and don't apply to our life. And it came to pass. Everything you have, it will come to be pass. But Christian, who are you going to go through it with? Who are you going to enter into it with? Very important. Lord God, today, work in our hearts. I pray, oh God, You give us wisdom. Give us strength of heart and mind as we seek out Your direction. And Lord, we're so thankful today that we have a book that is perfect. We have that which we can depend upon without error, without contradiction. Lord, we're thankful for the Bible. And oh God, I pray that every Christian in this room might seek its direction for every decision of life. Lord, somehow we've gotten the idea that there are sacred things that we seek You for, and then there's secular things we seek others for. May we remember that all ground is holy ground for the Christian. And that we are to abide in Your presence constantly and continually. I pray for any in this room today that may be lost. Dear God, speak to their heart. May it be a day of salvation. What a glorious day it could be. They put their trust in You. Bless in this time of invitation. Glorify Yourself through it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.